Today's podcast is sponsored by Atomic Golf. If you need custom ball markers, divot repair tools, and more that are made from high-quality materials like solid copper and brass and look really good, then you should check out our friends at Atomic Golf. If courses like Old Barnwell, Landman, Sweetens Cove, and more are already working with them, then you should too. Visit atomicgolf.club and follow them on Instagram at atomicgolf.
Somebody, yeah, they have a country club group, comes out, they have 20 guys who came on a trip, and they all load up on the first tee box to watch each other go off in their foursomes, and you do not want to be that guy who shanks the first tee shot. Hello, and welcome to the Caddy Tales podcast. I'm Mark the Caddy, at Caddy Tales on X, and I am joined by my friend, my sidekick, my colleague, Nick. Nick the Caddy, and we're excited to talk to you guys again this week about how golf mirrors life, life mirrors golf. There's so many parallels, and we can take lessons and incorporate them into both areas so that we can grow as people and as golfers. How are you this morning, Nick?
Good, buddy. I'm excited to get in the swing of things, no pun intended, for the golf season, so yeah, looking forward to that. Just got done watching Scotty wrap up his victory. Dude's on fire.
Yeah. So for listeners, we're recording this on Monday morning, April 22nd today. And Scotty Scheffler just won the rain-delayed RBC Heritage. Just ridiculous to see the tear that he's on. This also happens to be opening week for us. Our course opens up on Friday. And I saw on the weather report, Nick, that we have Friday scheduled a high of 51.
Yeah.
Right off the lake. We know that it's going to be cooler. It said very high winds in the afternoon and a rain showers turning into a steady soaking rain in the afternoon. Mm. So you're pretty pumped up about that, eh?
Yeah, not super excited for the for the weather forecast, but, you know, nothing I haven't been through before, so.
Right.
You know, just try to dress properly and try to make it through it.
Yeah. You know, in the early season, we get a higher percentage of golfers who aren't from as far away. So maybe they cancel. But still, a lot of people are from out of town, out of state. And if they come, they're playing. And so it's why I never have had any interest in going on an Ireland or Scotland trip. I've had enough days like we're going to have on Friday for that the passion for that is kind of gone. But super excited to have seen Scotty Scheffler again, man. What a I mean, we haven't seen anything like this since Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I know. It's all the stats I've seen, like, it's all like this hasn't been done since Tiger, and it's crazy to think about. It almost seems like sacrilege to talk about somebody being as dominant as Tiger was in his era. But yeah, 3 out of 4. And the outlier was finishing second on a missed, like, 3-foot putt. So, yeah, it's just wild. Right.
Well, and unless I'm remiss, we also have Nelly Korda,
yeah,
who won her 5th start in a row. So, I mean, just insane how at the top of these leaderboards,
yeah,
we have a dynasty going on. I was with another caddy yesterday. We went for a walk, and we kind of talked about how, you know, you have things like March Madness, and we think we like to root for the underdog, and maybe – during that opening round, you do. But in reality, sports are more popular when there's a dynasty. Mm-hmm. And I remember college basketball being at its peak back when, you know, Duke was winning all the time or making Final Fours. That UNLV team from back then, the Yankees in baseball for so long. We may not like those teams, but dynasties have proven that they're actually pretty good for sports. So we have that in the women's game. We have that in the guys' game. And I'm just blown away at the consistency. We see people hit good golf shots all the time.
Yeah.
But what don't we see? That's crazy statistic that popped up on my account yesterday. And I would assume it's even higher now. I forget how many holes Scotty had left to play this morning. But as of yesterday, 53 holes in a row. He had scored 4 or better.
Yeah, he actually bogeyed the last hole. So,
Did he?
Yeah.
So his streak ended. So he went between the 11th hole of the Masters final round and the final round today. Those were his bogeys. Sandwiched in between there was par or better. Just insane. Yeah. And one of the things that, as he's winning all these tournaments, you're seeing that he's a guy who has a great head on his shoulders.
Yeah,
he just seems to have the mental game dialed in.
Seems like that's where he's above everybody else, is that he just doesn't, like, get flustered.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of arguments to be made that, you know, a guy who's grounded, who's living a balanced life, who has priorities beyond the golf course, who finds great fulfillment in his faith, in his family, all of those things come together, and he has just a tremendous amount of perspective and joy, and that is paired with immense talent, and we're seeing quite a run here. Can you think of, you know, just times you've been out there with people who aren't obviously at the level of Scottie Scheffler, but what's it like when you have a player who you can see just has a consistency? What's different about caddying for them, or what have you liked about that?
Yeah, that's just kind of the dream loop. I mean, somebody that's just calm all the time and just chill and not stressing about small stuff. And it translates to the game so well. Cause you're not, you know, your hands are calm. You're not shaking over putts and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, the mental game, we see it all the time, how after somebody has a bad hole, they stomp off and they're in a rage for the next hole. And rarely, if ever, does that rage turn into something positive on the next hole. And then we see guys like Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Ulberg, those people just kind of recovering very quickly. And so, you know, when I get a player who, one, is consistent in their game, and you see that they're generally able to hit the ball in the vicinity that we think it's going to go, aren't chunking it around or whatever, know their distances, stuff like that, and hit it real well like that, and then combine that with the mental game, it is such a treat. And the surprise for me is that I experienced that with golf pros, club pros. I was really scared when I started caddying, and the first few times I had a club pro, that they were just going to be arrogant jerks.
Yeah.
And that's really not been my experience at all. I think it's a combination of they're pretty good, and they're usually better than the people they're playing with, because they're often with, like, members from their club. They're probably on their best behavior because they're with members from their club. But I think the biggest reason is they have a keen and profound understanding that the game of golf is extremely hard, and you can make it more difficult by acting like a mental midget out there. And so they recover really well. With that said, though, you mentioned the outlier of Scottie's last five. I think it's actually 4 out of 5 now, or is it 3 out of 4? It doesn't matter. I think sandwiched in between his wins, there is second place, and that was one where he got the yips. So it happens even to the best of them. I remember watching him miss that putt.
Yeah.
And then he kind of rushed and missed a second one that, you know, a lot of people would think were gimmies or whatever. And I tweeted out, like, if it can happen to him. And the point being, you know, golf is hard and putting is hard. And sometimes we get the yips, and sometimes things don't even work out for the best. And so maybe it's 99% of the time Scottie's not nervous or doesn't have, you know, isn't calm and cool under pressure. But in that instance, we kind of saw him. And that brings me to what we want to get a little more in depth about today and talk about just the nerves that come along with golf. And more specifically for us, as we prepare to start a new season, hearers might be surprised to hear we're nervous. At least I am. I'm very nervous about Friday, even though I'm excited to get back to work. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not super nervous because I've got a couple loops under my belt already this season. So hopefully a little of the rust is knocked off. But I mean, that's definitely something that concerns me, is that I'll be rusty out there. It's not like a natural thing to caddy for someone else. You definitely kind of got to get like a flow to it.
Yeah, for those who didn't listen last week, Nick was able to caddy a couple week or a week or so ago for one of our other courses that opened early. And that's pretty rare. There's not a lot of work until we open on April 26th, and all four courses will be open at that time. But Nick was one of the fortunate ones who was in the right place and in the right time and got to caddy over the weekend. So when you go out there, though, on that weekend, what are you afraid of? What are you nervous about?
I would say injuries, obviously, as we've already talked about in a previous episode, that's usually pretty high. Conditioning, you know, that's scary. The first loop back, you don't want to get dead tired like 14 holes through. The other caddy I'm with, maybe that we might not connect. You know, that not everyone connects like us too, you know? So,
I think those are good. It's always funny to see the caddy shack on like the second or third day that most of the caddies are back and everyone's in there talking about their plantar fasciitis, and how sore they are and their back, and everyone's hoping that they're going to get a single bag or a four caddy loop or something that day to take some of the pressure off. Yeah, it takes some time for your body to adjust. I mean, I've been working out hard the last few months at my gym, like HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training. And then yesterday I went on a 6 mile walk and I was reminded, you know, there's specificity. And I was like, oh, this is kind of a not a super challenging walk, but it was more challenging than I thought it would be. Yep. And I'm like, okay, I'm nervous now about how I'm going to feel on Friday. Especially since if it rains, the bags will be like 1,000 pounds. Like you said, I'm nervous about who I work with. You want to have somebody that you're working with as a team early in the season too. Oftentimes veteran caddies are being paired with newer guys to help them out, which I don't mind doing and stuff, but it can make for a dynamic that can be challenging at time, especially if the young guy is struggling. I think that just the nerves of going out and remembering everything. Like, you get to a point as a caddy, there's a ton of places on the golf course where you can just eyeball it and know how far you are from something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, have I forgotten all those distances to that sand trap or to that hill or whatever? And then, of course, the rust of the greens and reading them, because one, you're just rusty, but two, the greens aren't probably going to be rolling next week the same way that they roll for a good majority of the season. And so there's all kinds of things that just create a little bit of anxiety. And even just walking up to the bag drop and that first time meeting players and be like, okay, I hope I get a good group for this first loop, and I hope that I don't have guys here who are, you know, looking to shoot 60 today. And those
not good conditions. So I brought that up too in my notes, saying, I hope I don't get a grinder out there, because it's not a great day for that.
Yeah, no, and like, for one, you've got to adjust for the weather. Just all players should. But then for two, just probably the thing that makes me most nervous or apprehensive about a loop is when I am meeting somebody at the bag drop and there's just such a, maybe aloof is the right word, a lack of being realistic is a description I would use. And you don't know their game. And so people would be like, well, how do you know they're not being realistic? Because sometimes you hear some stuff that's like so over the top. I just saw statistics, for instance, this young guy who made the Korn Ferry, 15 years old. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to suggest that this young guy has got a lot of talent and, is better than most players. And they had his stock yardages up on a little banner, and his driver is 280 yards.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you have a player tell you their consistent average drive is 305.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, well, it really, is this going to be a day? And so unrealistic expectations, when you can just see that maybe somebody has built the day up to be more than it can provide.
Yeah,
you're like, let's just have a group with who's maybe a little more laid back, looking to have fun, knows that when it's pouring rain and the wind's blowing 30, it's going to be a different kind of round. And Because also, that's one thing I always think just for people with golf trips in general. You spend all that money, you build it up. What do you do when the weather is terrible? How nervous are people looking at the weather report for this weekend, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're probably jam-packing their rain gear in their bag. And
well, and they're probably obsessive about it, too. Like, every, you know, 3 hours refreshing it and seeing, is there a change?
I'm doing the same thing.
I will say to people who come our way, with that lake there, it can be pretty unpredictable. Long-range forecasts tend not to be as accurate as they are in some other places that I've lived. So, I've got like a nervous excitement, and yet I know that won't last. There's a little sense of it every loop. I remember when I trained from before my first year, the caddy manager who walked us through and took a tour of the course or whatever, he talked about how, you know, when you go up there for that first loop, you know, you still feel it, you know, that butterfly, that anxiety, no matter how long you've done it. And I guess it stuck with me because maybe that surprised me, but it's true.
Yeah.
But what, you know, calms you down out there on the course? And usually how long does it take for you to feel comfortable during a loop, Nick?
So I think it can be really helpful if you're paired with someone, you know, that you get along with well. It's amazing how much that helps things. Usually I feel like we kind of like get upset sometimes about things, like certain Quarks players have, and then you get out there like on the first hole and you're like, eh, it's just golf, it's just another day, it's another loop, I've done 1,000 of them, I'll be fine. A lot of times it's calmed down like on the first hole. If the Quarks continue like the entire round, I've had it before where you never really calm down, to be honest.
I think that like it's harder to dislike somebody once you're getting to know them or forming a relationship with them out there. When you meet somebody at the bag drop and their first comment is something that you've heard a million times or whatever, maybe you're just conditioned to be annoyed or judgmental, which I try not to be, but you're human or whatever. Or at the very least, you just hear things a million times, and so you're like fake laughing. Well, as you get to know these people, you tend to be like, hey, they're really nice, and I'm glad they're here, and it's my job to get over it. It's not their problem. And I think that when I go to the doctor's office, sometimes I'm like, and I want to apply this to being a caddy, I don't always like a doctor's bedside manner.
Yeah.
Because I think for them, they're doing whatever they're doing 80 times a day, you know, how many thousands of times a year, whatever, it becomes so routine for them. And so they can become a little bit flippant. Yeah. And they forget, if you're at the doctor's for anything other than maybe like a routine office visit, that's the biggest thing going on in your day. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it's the biggest thing going on in your life. And you want them to kind of acknowledge that. Well, I'm like, in the same way, we may loop every day or see the course every day, but for that person who traveled 2,000 miles, it's kind of the biggest thing of their year, maybe. And so we've got to act accordingly with them. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that too. Yeah, it's always somebody's bucket list experience, right? Yeah. So you want to try to, you know, give them your full attention and
that creates some nerves too, because sometimes you just want it to live up to their expectations. Like, you want them to play good because you know how much it means to them.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story. Actually, I remember one of the guys we work with. I can't remember who got the loop, but it was like a Make a Wish kid. He got the caddy for a Make a Wish kid, and like I was like, oh my gosh, I would feel so much pressure on that loop because you know you definitely want to make the kid's day. So
that's a perfect example. It's like hopefully it'll turn out to be as special for them as they've been expecting. And so when a guy comes and shoots 105 when they were hoping to break 80, you feel some pain for them, not only because of just you want them to be able to do well, but because you know that this meant more to them than other times. And you wanted it to be a big day, so you kind of take it on yourself a little bit, even though you're not hitting the shots or anything. You mentioned another one of the person you work with. I love working with a team as the other caddy out there, and that happens a lot, where the caddies work as a team. They're in sync. But every now and then you kind of have a player who, or a caddy who's like, this is my players and those are your players and I'm not talking to them and you don't talk to mine. And we'll live happily ever after. And it's just not as enjoyable, but it also is like, you feel like, man, I'm nervous to give some information that then maybe he'll contradict or give differently with his player. There's all kinds of things that go into having a great loop. And so you want that all to come together. Now we're nervous as we go into this week, but we also see players' insecurities and nervousness come out quite a bit on the course or even before they get on the course. What's something that, you see their insecurity come out?
Yeah. So I thought back to like a time when I just saw somebody just like absolutely berate, like a new caddy and, just like embarrass him the whole day. And it's just like, it really like turned me off and, it's not a good feeling. And you try to help the new caddy out as much as you can. But yeah, I'm sure that was probably just the guy's way of, expressing his insecurity and the fact that he wasn't playing well. So,
yeah, you're always with somebody who's not having a lot of confidence when they are acting like that, or when they tell you their handicap right off the bat, or, mm-hmm. Kind of give you their resume, so mm-hmm. to speak. They're kind of trying to validate themselves and puff mm-hmm. themselves up. And, we don't care about that stuff. We want people to just play golf and have fun. But, I think when players have something on the line, you see the nervous. It's amazing. Scottie Scheffler's playing for millions of dollars. Now, one would argue he has generational wealth already, so he shouldn't be nervous about anything. But I'm sure mm-hmm. with that kind of money on the line for the pros, there's some nervousness. But I see it when guys are playing for $50 and they have a 4-foot putt. Just mm-hmm. how they stand over that thing with great anxiety. It's pretty comical, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably like a pride thing too. You don't want to lose to your buddies.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to say, you don't want to look bad. You don't want to look bad by losing. You have some pride. So you're nervous about that. You don't want to look bad by, the first tee. Somebody, they have a country club group comes out. They have 20 guys who came on a trip and they all load up on the first tee box to watch each other go off in their foursomes. And you do not want to be that guy who shanks the first tee shot. Guys are just terrified about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is terrifying, to be honest. I've been that guy and it's not fun.
And then what do they all do? They all get up to the tee box. This is the first time I've played this year.
Yeah.
I think I had like four or five players maybe last year tell me it was the first time they played in a year. And I'm like, wow. So they're setting, in some ways it's kind of cool because they're setting the expectation very low. I'm like, well, we can meet that. Yeah. And
Hey, fellow golfers, this is Robbie from Best Ball. One of the most popular names in the golf accessory market today is Western Birch. Stop reaching in your pocket for boring plastic or plain white golf tees and elevate your game with premium wooden golf tees from Western Birch. You can customize both the hardwood and bamboo tees with one of their signature stripe patterns in a wide variety of colors. These tees are stylish enough to stand apart from the crowd, traditional enough to align with golf's heritage, and durable enough to make you forget about using anything else. Enter the code BESTBALL in the promo field in your shipping cart to add a free gift to your order. So visit westernbirch.com and get your own premium wood golf tees in the style that suits your game.
And I think a word of advice that I would have for all players, I don't think you can easily correct this. People have their tendencies. But I think people just take too long over the ball. And if they would just hit the ball, don't you think we'd see more success out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the more you can take your mind out of it, the better you'll play, usually.
Yeah. I think just get up. And the one that I see always videos for on TikTok or YouTube or wherever is Lee Trevino. He oftentimes has got a video up there saying, oh, look at how quickly from the time he grabbed his club till the time he hits it, how quickly it is. And it's like, well, he did pretty well. And so I don't think that standing over a ball too long and having your knees knock or whatever has generally been all that successful. Now, when we're out with a player on the loop, there are a few things that cause me insecurity once the loop gets going. And here's one, and I'm sure you've heard it before, Nick. You tell somebody, hey, you know, I think that putt is going to play a little bit left to right, maybe a cup left to right. Mm-hmm. And the player goes, really? Mm-hmm. In a very animated voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I thought it was going right to left. All of a sudden, you know what? Even though I know that putt's going left to right, I don't trust it, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes you're with these people who are so good at what they do, so high up in their company. They're not used to being around people and tolerating people who fail or make big mistakes, and they're intense. I remember one time on the ninth hole, which is one of the harder greens to read.
I would agree,
At both of the courses we caddied at.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that exact scenario. I knew the ball was going to go left to right on the putt. But I'm with these guys. It was one of those loops where it was just tense. It wasn't fun. It was high, powerful guys. They didn't have a lot of fun with each other. They just were just very strong-willed, strong-minded, very intense. And so I give a read, and then I did what you should never do. I changed it after I got one of those, really?
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up being wrong.
Yeah.
I was right the first time.
First time, yeah.
And I still can remember, this is a few years ago, but I can still remember the mocking tone with which the player acknowledged to his other friends that the putt went the other way. It goes the other way.
Geez.
And I'm like, well, why did I do that? And it was total insecurity, total nervousness. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can exude onto you from the other players and make you doubt yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably like one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody's questioning you like all day, like a yardage or like a putt read. Cause then you start second guessing yourself, and then you don't want to second guess yourself. Cause you know, you've been doing it for so long. You know these things.
Some collaboration is awesome. But once a decision is made or information is given, you know, the dramatic reactions to it can just cause some self-doubt, and you want to be right for them. That's the thing is, like, what causes nerves is you want the loop to do well because you're nervous about making money. This is how we provide a living. And so I always tell players, you know, there's nobody who wants you to do better today than I do. That's true, because it's just going to be a more enjoyable day. And generally speaking, you'll make a higher gratuity. And so I really just want to try to avoid that kind of nervousness and doubt, but it creeps up every now and then, because there are some spots that are harder, even if you've been there for a few years. Like, there are greens that are still harder, or pin positions that are more difficult. There are still, you know, shots that aren't, you're not sure what they should do or what would work out best. It's not like just because you work there every day, you're a robot who has the best scenario in place every time.
It's an imperfect game. You know, you can get an imperfect bounce here and there, and it just ends up making you look like an idiot sometimes.
Yeah, it absolutely does. What type of player, as you walk up to the bag drop on Friday, what kind of twosome do you want to have?
Some chill guys, no pun intended, would be great. So it's a tournament. So, generally the people that have the most fun are the people that shoot a bad score the prior day. I guess Friday will be the first day, so Saturday would be like the group that you want to have a bad score coming in. But just somebody that's not going to take it too seriously, because it is a tournament, you know. I want somebody that's like, we just, you know, thought it was a good deal to play here. We're not trying to win the tournament or anything. Just trying to hit some good shots. I think that would probably be the best group for me. What do you feel about that?
And I want to say something to that, because listeners probably hear us reference that kind of stuff all the time and think, man, these guys, they're not going to be good caddies. I want to go play my best. I want to go low. I want to win. That's not the case. It's just that when you're in a position where you see so much golf that is average, below average, whatever, a little above average, but also so much golf that is different for these players than when they're playing a nice July day at their home course that they've played 1,000 times versus, you know, coming and playing an extremely difficult course in oftentimes difficult conditions. We've seen so many times that things just don't go as expected or as planned. And so it becomes this like defense mechanism to want to say, hey, just relax and have fun. Don't treat this like it's your Super Bowl. And that's hard to get across to people because you don't want to rain on their parade either. It's like a balancing act. How do you like build this event up so that the people feel like, man, this every bit of this was worth the thousands of dollars I spent, while at the same time wanting them to walk away going, this was everything that I wanted and it was worth it, even though they shot 98 instead of 80. You know, it's a balancing act. And so I have a deep heart for wanting to see players experience a great day, have a bucket list kind of day. And it makes me nervous when we set ourselves up right from the get-go to not have that kind of day. And so I feel like sometimes rearranging expectations or just helping people manage expectations, because things change. Yeah. What if we start the loop on Friday and it's, you know, mild wind and it's not raining? But by hole 12, we're getting poured on and 40-mile-an-hour gusts are in the face. You got to adjust.
No doubt. Yeah, I also don't want to be misconstrued. I would absolutely love to caddy for the winning team. I'm competitive, so but I've done it before. I've caddied for the winning team, and I know for a fact I don't get 10% of their winnings. So
I was in a tournament, not the one we have this weekend, but in a mid-season kind of amateur tournament, and I caddied for the second and third place players. And what was rare about that was they're really cool. They knew golf, you know, so like it was their highs didn't get too high, their lows didn't get too low. They were consistent, kind of like what we were talking about with Scottie Scheffler. It tends to be the bad behavior often comes from players who don't have a chance to win, maybe even on the best day.
Yeah, so there's usually something to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I walk up to the bag drop on Friday, I want to meet people who are there to have fun, who appreciate that they're there. That's one thing. Like, I saw a lot of posts. I put up a post this weekend about our course, and it got some negative retweets or comments from people who were talking about how they can't play there because it's too expensive. And trust me, I get it. It's just something that I can't change or do anything about and stuff. But I hope people who do have the means appreciate the blessings that they have and are thankful for it. Sometimes you're with a player and they'll walk through a whole course and you're like, did they even see it? You know, did they even look around? Was this even fun for them? So I want somebody who appreciates that they're there. I want somebody who wants to play their best, but, you know, also recognizes that golf is hard. And then also somebody who appreciates their friends, appreciates me. And I know we'll have a great day in that instance. And so the nerves are also paired with this great excitement, because I know we're going to meet many people like that this season. And if you're somebody out there listening, come out and see us, DM me. Maybe you want to get more information about where we work and the courses and how to book a tee time or whatever. And we will help prepare you to have just the time of your life, one that you can remember for a long, long time. It'd be a real, real gift to you. And so we hope we see many of you this season. We are ready, willing, able to get started. And along the journey, we are going to remember that life is just like the game of golf that we are going to witness every day. And that is that there's going to be flubs and shanks and things that go haywire. And yet, on this side of the ground, there's always a next shot. So take yours.